Good morning, everyone. The music that we've been singing this morning has all been about the title of my message. There is power in the name of Jesus. You know, if you ever need power, that's the one to go to. Forget about all of these companies offering you cheap electricity and gas and whatever. Go to Jesus. It's free as well. There's no charge. And it's readily available. But before we come around the message, let's just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you take away any fear that I have. Lord, embolden me to deliver this message with your power and with your strength. Lord, I ask that you open our ears to hear what you have to say to each one of us. And Lord, that you will give us the courage, not just to hear it, but to act upon it, so that through your direction and our actions, we will glorify you, Lord. And I ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, if you were to go out into the road and ask the first person that walks past you, what do you think power means? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you got any of these following answers. Well, there's different kinds of power. You know, you've got power to heat your home and to make our TVs and our computers work. Usually, it's electricity. And electricity, as we all know, is delivered by three little wires in a plug. Yeah, you've got the red one, which is positive, blue for negative, and yellow and green for an earth. But you know, if you take any one of those wires off the plug, the appliances just won't work. They won't receive the power from the mains. There's also gas, coal, wood-burning fires and boilers. The combustion engine, even in our cars. All of these require three elements to work. Commonly known as the triangle of combustion. You need air, you need fuel, and you need heat. Take any one of those three away, and none of them will function. As a firefighter, an ex-firefighter, I know some fires, that's how you deal with them. You use a gas to expel the air so that the fire dies down. And with that, it's fine, the fire goes out, but it's got no cooling properties. You know, so if you don't keep it away long enough, and the oxygen gets back in, it'll reignite. But that's an aside. Power can also stand for strength, for example. We all have different cars, different horsepowers. And all that means is the number of horses that you have in your car. Well, you couldn't fit the number of horses in your car for the horsepower of your car, if that makes sense. That's an Irishism. But we'll leave that aside. But you know, even string and cord that we tie up parcels with, and ropes that we use to secure stuff, it's usually made of three strands of sisal. And that's where it gets its strength. And Rob, in his message last week, talked about three is better than one. You know, and it's true, three is better than one. But that's not the kind of power I want to talk about this morning. This morning I want to look at what the Bible has to say about the real sustaining power of God. God's strength and how we can use it and how we need it. We need to share it. And I've entitled this message, as I've already said, there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus' power also has three strands, as it were. The power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one. And they work in unison with each other. They're not separate items. They are a union. And you know, if you belong to the Lord, you are an inheritor into that union. I want to give you a few examples from God's word on how God demonstrates his power. I've picked out two scriptures from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament. Just simple little ones. The first one's from 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6, and it's going to be up on the overhead. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. You know, those of us who've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior will know that you experienced a change once you accepted him into your life. I know I felt like a young Billy Graham as a young raw 17, well, just coming up to 17, just 16 and a bit. Most worked about quarters, not three quarters, I suppose. When you're a kid, it's funny how you age, you think to get as much out of it as you want, and as you get older, you want to make it, compress it the other way, don't you? You know? But that's the power the Holy Spirit has. He's changed your life for the better. And my old friend, Jeremiah, in chapter 10, verse 6, reads, "No one is like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power." How true. You know, there's no other name, as we've sung, but the name of Jesus, who can sort out the problems that we will face in this world. Remember, we're in the world, but not of it, if we belong to the Lord. Moving on to the New Testament then, in Luke 9, verse 1, when Jesus sent out the 12. Verse 1 reads, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases." You know, that power and authority is available to us as well. Don't think that you haven't got it. But we can't do it on our own. You need to seek the Lord for it, and he will give you the power required. In Romans 4, 18 to 21, this is a passage which really demonstrates power, I think, and faith. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." You know, what faith? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But it's happened. It's true. Just like Abraham, we need to remember that. When we meet with trouble, and we will meet with trouble in our lives, this world is full of trouble. You just have to look at the news, what's going on in Ukraine, even in Spain at the minute with the heat and the fires. I think over the weekend there's something like 300 people have died in Spain, according to the news. You know, there's trouble and distress going on all over the world. But we need to remember that we can rely on the power of God, who is always ready and willing to help us when we go to him and ask for his help. But how often do we try to sort things out our own way? We know best, don't we? We've all been there. And it's only after we make a bigger mess of things. It's a bit like a man with DIY stuff comes in, you know, "I don't need the instructions. Oh, I can put this together." And you end up with about three pieces of wood left over. That's spare. What can we have for? And screws that, yeah, I don't need them. You know, but that's us. We get into a mess, and that's only when the wife comes and says, "Read the instructions. Did you get it right?" But that's part of the learning curve. You know, it's the same with the Lord. He knows that we need his help. We will make a mess of things. And I would like to encourage each one of you and me this morning that whatever the problems we may have, no matter how big or how small they are, that we take it first of all to the Lord and not try to fix it ourselves. Let him direct our steps, for no one knows us better than he does. Remember, scripture tells us that he knew us before we were even knit in our mother's womb. How could that be? Well, Colossians 1:16 puts it like this: for in him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Couldn't be any clearer, could it? That's where the power is. Now, that's what real power is. Yes, Jesus was willing to lay it all down. You know, he had a power to do whatever he wanted, yet he was willing to lay all that power aside and lay it down at the foot of the cross so that we would have a pathway back to the Father and the ability to claim an inheritance in the kingdom through faith and belief in him. As we're informed in Colossians 2:13-15, which reads, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision, of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Wow. You know, there are those who may think there are a lot of powerful people about. There may be chief executive officers of large corporations and companies, kings, presidents, or even prime ministers. But, and it is a big but, as our prime minister has acknowledged only this week, their power is only temporary and will eventually come to an end. You know, as life is in this world, there is an end to life in this world. But everyone has got eternal life. It just depends on where you choose to spend that eternal life. But let's look what scripture says in Job 24:22 about man. But God drags away the mighty by his power. Though they become established, they have no assurance of life. Because who's got the power of life and death? There's only one. The only power that can last forever is the power of God, and the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if we are to survive and fight the good fight, we need to harness that power. How can we do that? Well, there's only one way, and that's the same way that Jesus did it, by spending time with the Father in prayer. When you look through these Gospels, you see that Jesus quite frequently left, normally took two with him, but he left them a wee bit further away and went on further to converse with the Father and to find out what the Father's will was for his life. Because he needed to be in touch with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They needed the three strands together to work. And we need to be in touch. We need to harness that power in the same way, just as Jesus did. Jesus has promised us, as we read in John 15, verse 16. And this is the bit which I'm thankful for, because I don't think I would have been wise enough to do it on my own. But it tells us quite clearly, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You know, isn't it wonderful that the Lord loved you so much that he called you? You know, and he chose you. And if you're listening to this message and you haven't been chosen, then you haven't been listening to God, because I'm sure he's been calling you. So just listen and react and respond to the call. You will not regret it. If we are to be successful in our walk and produce fruit, we will have to overcome, as I've already said, a host of troubles and tribulations. We will need his power and strength, which can only be obtained by remaining in him. Yes, we need to be connected to the power source, or just like the vacuum cleaner, it won't work. It won't even blow hot air, never mind suck up the dust. It just won't work. In Ephesians 6:12, we are warned, for our trouble and struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's frightening. You know, I don't know about you, but I find that very daunting. And I have no doubt that without God's help, it would be impossible to cope with. I know I'm not brave enough to go it alone. But we can take comfort and encouragement from God's word, as we read in Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39. If you belong to Christ, you can take this as a guarantee. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or dagger or sword? Sorry, danger or sword. Sounds like dagger to me, but it's danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the heights, the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, what a statement. What a promise. You know, that promise brings so much comfort to mind. And it reminds me of the song that I've asked Rob and Linda to play at the end. And it's the title of the message. Yeah, there is power in the name of Jesus. No other power can compare. Let's look at the power that the Holy Spirit gives to those of us who have put our trust in Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, we read, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. You know, they're all gifts of the Spirit. Now, it's sad that today there are churches that believe that these things are of days gone by. They are no longer applicable. You can go to lots of churches and you will not hear any talk about tongues, prophecies, and all the rest of it. And that's, I feel, a shame. And I hold that the teaching that the Bible tells us, that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, and that nothing is impossible for him. That's what the scripture says. So why aren't those things possible today then? Why is it some of our churches have stopped believing? Well, Satan's at work and he's winning in lots of his battlegrounds. And you know, if we think about it, a lot of these churches are accepting things now because it's a safe thing to do. They don't want to cause a fight. They don't want to cause a split in the church. It's more impossible, or it's more important to them to have unity than it is to have righteousness. And sometimes righteousness comes at a cost, and it comes at a cost of standing up for the scripture and saying, no, that is wrong. Scripture says this, and that is it. I'm not going to go into any of the political stuff at the minute, but if you want to speak about it, I'm ready and available here after the service. As Christians, we need to grow. We need to mature if we are to bear fruit. We need to be diligent. We need to read His Word. But not only read it, we need to study it and let it seep into our very being. You know, and most important, we need to seek His face in prayer. You know, without seeking the Lord in prayer, how can we ever know what His will is for our life? Who's going to tell us? Now, He has different ways of speaking to us. He'll speak to us through a passage of scripture. He may speak to us through a song. He may speak to us through a remark that somebody makes, for maybe an offhand mark. It may be the wrong way. They may mean it for badness, but you take it out and you turn it around and make it for good. I was reading a book this morning, and it's about the crisis there was in Uganda in the 70s when Idi Amin, who was a cruel beast, and there was a cardinal there, an African cardinal there, I can't remember his name at the offhand, but he had a hatred for Idi Amin, and he felt that he couldn't operate in the spirit. He was hardened. He just couldn't relate the love of God to people until the Holy Spirit convicted him that he needed to change his thought and love Amin, but not his actions. And it wasn't until he said it was one of the hardest things I'd ever had to do, but I prayed, and with the Lord's help I was able to separate the two and love him because Christ died for him and everyone else in this world. The same goes for Putin and anybody else you want to name. Christ died for them, and He loves them, and He would love to have them come and accept Him and be with Him. And it's something that we need to remember, is we're not to judge in that way. By also, you can judge the act that they're doing, disagree with that, that's fine, take it to the Lord. But the person, you've got to love them, because until the breath has gone out of their body, they've got the chance of coming to the Lord, just like that criminal that was on the cross when he came to Jesus. And the Lord, when the Lord said to him, tonight you will be with me in paradise. So as long as they got breath, we've got to love them, whether we like them or not. We're not called to like people, we're called to love them. And that's easier said than done, I know. But I demand that you love me. Right, 1 Peter, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. We read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamations to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, yet in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers, in submission to him. Wow. So you see, that part from Peter, that reading from Peter, it tells us that God died for, at once for sins, for the righteous, and for the unrighteous. I'm glad that the unrighteous bit's there, because without that, I think there's a lot more would be lost. Because there's no, Scripture tells us, there's none righteous, no, not one. Unless the Lord Jesus decides that you're righteous, and then you can claim his covering when you stand before the throne. But you know, if you belong to the Lord, you're not going to be judged. You're going to be tasked and rewarded for the works that you've done, and the fruit that you've produced. But there's not going to be any real judgment on you. It's only if you miss his first call, and you're there after that, well, it's going to be difficult. I want to ask these couple of questions as a close. And if you're listening to this message, I ask you really to consider these questions and answer them to yourself. You don't need to give me the answers. One, have you submitted to Jesus? Are you connected to the power source? Do you know it's only power source that is free? You don't need a bank overdraft to pay for it. It's free. The only power source that will never suffer from power failure. The only power source that will never let you down. And it's always ready and available to those who love the Lord. I hope and trust that you can answer yes to these questions. But if you can't, I would urge you to consider your position. For there's only two possible outcomes. Submission to Christ and enjoy eternity with him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Or eternal separation and torment in hell. And the choice is yours. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. And he will seek, he'll advise, and he'll court you, as it were, and seek you. But if you, it's up to you whether or not you accept that invitation. So if you're hearing this and you feel that you're being prompted, then I suggest and recommend that you act upon that prompting and accept the Lord today, because that's what we're promised today, and hope for tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're in control, because with this world and what's going on in it at the minute, we shouldn't be really surprised, because your word tells us as time gets closer to the time of you sending your son back to receive his church, that people will become lovers of themselves and into all sorts of things which are not honouring to you. But Lord, we just pray that you will continue to supply the power to those that love you. Give them the power to just plough up the fields, Lord, and to plant the seed so that there's a harvest to be harvested when you come again. And Lord, we look forward to that when you come. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.